You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn and Andy Holding with you to look ahead to Sunday's racing at Leopardstown. Also a decent card at Galway to look forward to over the Irish Sea, and really good domestic racing as well at Wincanton. And of course at Aintree, we've got the Old Roan Chase there. But Leopardstown, it's the, firstly, good morning by the way.
Good morning, Alex.
I believe I'm right in saying, is this the final day of the flat season?
It is.
In Ireland,
yeah. It is, yeah.
And it's not a bad card, is it?
It's a very good card. Mm. Good mixture. Nice maidens to kick off with, some promising types. Then we've gone on to slightly more juicier morsels with a couple of decent listed races, and then some viciously competitive handicaps chucked in for good measure.
No, there is something for everyone, isn't there?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a star-studded day.
Mm. Eight races to go at, so we'll dive into the action. The first race is the 12.50. It's a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. A few of these bring some solid enough form to the table, Andy. You wouldn't imagine there's any massive stable stars here, but Witaki for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen is a short price favourite at the time of recording, which is 9:30 on Sunday morning. 11-8 as we speak. It's then 5-1 for Somehow for Aidan O'Brien, and 9s or bigger the rest. That says two things to me, Andy. One, that this favourite, you'd imagine, ran well on debut and is fairly well fancied, and the fact that it's 9-1 bar the first two. There's some potential each way value to be had here.
There is, yeah. I can offer up one that at double figure odds might sneak into the frame, but it is really all about Witaki, who's shaped with a massive amount of promise on debut at Nice on the 23rd of September, chasing home stable companion Kalisma, who was obviously a lot shorter in the betting, 5-1 compared to 33-1. But there wasn't a great deal to choose between these two fillies ability-wise. Obviously, Kalisman was more fancied, so got a more prominent ride. And Lee Roach, on the weaker of the two in the betting, dropped his filly out the back door. But she came home with such a rattle down the outside on what turned out to be the unfavourable part of the track as well, down the centre of the course, that you'd suggest that if they ever met again, those front two, there wouldn't be a great deal between them. So therefore, Witaki obviously is a very short price favourite here to justify that encouraging beginning. The form of the race is nothing to get massively excited about, and the time wasn't anything electric, but it was just the manner of that performance which suggests that she's going to be very difficult to beat here, and she would be the number one choice. The other one, as I mentioned, at a slightly bigger odds, is Petticoat Government, filly by Holy Roman Emperor, trained by Willie McCreary, who does really well with fillies. She was third in quite a decent little maiden down in Limerick on the figures. It went the way of Seven Left, who's won a very good nursery last week at Navanin, again in a good time. So, and Petticoat Government from a wide draw was the only one that chased that filly in the early part of that race. Obviously couldn't handle the horse, who got more experience and paid for it late on. But that was a really encouraging run by Petticoat Government, and I think she can easily outstrip her odds. But it's all about Witaki. With expected improvement, she should hopefully win the first.
The 120 is the second race on the cards, and it's made another 7, this time for the Colts and Geldings. So same race, different sex, and a similar kind of story in terms of the betting, in that you've got a horse that did show promise on debut at the head of affairs at a fairly short price in Ortard, followed in by an unraced charge of Aidan O'Brien's. In this instance, it's Bravery, and then slightly bigger prices for the rest in the field. How do you see this one panning out, Mr. Holding?
Well, it's all about the form behind Black Sea, really, which was mainly represented by Ortard, and no great surprise to see Kevin Prendergast's 2-year-old, a fairly short price favourite to claim this race with just normal improvement, because it was an eye-catching run by this colt by Cape Cross, a lovely big tile. A lot of those Cape Crosses are very physically imposing, and given the way he came home, he should really confirm form with Arakeel, He was around about three or four lengths behind as they went past the three furlong pole, and by the time they come inside the final furlong, Waterside had worked himself into third. Obviously, he didn't have enough quality in the end to beat the winner, Black Sea, but he's very highly regarded. And although he got beat yesterday, he did get beat, in my opinion, by the best two-year-old I've seen so far this season in the shape of Blue de Vega. So there's certainly no disgrace in that. The time of that race is very good. He's well clear on the figures. And I think if he breaks a little bit more early, because he was a bit slowly away at the Curragh, from stall number two, if he can hold his position, then he's going to take a awful lot of beating in the home straight.
Okay, fair enough. We've got the 150 up next, which is a 7-furlong nursery. We've got 8 runners going to post at the time of recording. Let's hope that all 8 stay in. But there's a few here that have got some pretty smart form, Andy. Theodorico heads affairs, despite the fact that he is still a maiden, but he's shown certain promise so far. Orangey Red next in for Dermot Weld. Then you've got Miss Brinkley's and Atherson Bean and some nice types in behind. It's not a bad little race, this.
No, I'm quite familiar with quite a lot of these, having watched all the two-year-old races with great scrutiny in the last month or so. And the one that comes out clearly on my figures is Theodorica. No great surprise, because basically he's running the best race, and I think he's the best horse in this race. Second to a very good horse of Aidan O'Brien's called Unicorn back in August. He then had a couple of months off, but came back with a bang to run an absolute belter from a terrible draw at the Curragh behind. I think one of the short price favourites for the juvenile races at the Breeders' Cup in the shape of Hit It A Bomb. That form has worked out splendidly. The time of the race is really good. And although he got beat the other day back at the Curragh, again, I think he bumped into a very smart horse. It's a bit of a recurring theme here for Jim Bolger's charge. He bumped into another Aidan O'Brien horse, who I think is high up on the list for next year's Derby in the shape of Idaho. So he's been cutting his cloth in very, very hot races. He actually, I think, he's quite leniently treated here for mark of 82, given that he's, I think, been up against three group horses in his last three runs. And this is a good deal easier. He's a lovely type. I know Jim Bolger thinks quite a bit of him, and hopefully today he'll get off the mark.
Okay, Theodorico, the pick in the 150. Race 4 is the 220. It's the Knockair Stakes, a listed race over 7 furlongs with 9 runners down to go to post in this one. And although we can't just focus on 2 in the market, because it is a fairly open race, Andy, Tested and Sovereign Debt hold all the sort of form clues in this one, in that Tested was first past the post last time out against Sovereign Debt, but that was reversed in the steward room. Tested does get £5 from Sovereign Debt here. And as I said, Andy, we don't want to just focus on those two, but how they run again will be key to how the race pans out.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, a lot will depend here, won't it, Alex, on how Tested reacts to the first-time headgear. That might just make all the difference. You can't really put a figure on how much it might improve her or decrease her chances, let's say. Sometimes these fillies don't take well to headgear, but she is drawn in stall one, and I'm pretty sure that Pat Smullen will give her a good positive ride. I wanted to hold his position and get into the best possible place turned into the home straight, because it's a bit of a short run in here, and as we've seen time and time again at Leopardstown, horses coming off the pace don't always get there in time. I certainly think the stewards were correct in turning the result around down in Tipperary, when for me Sovereign Debt was a bit unlucky not to win it at first as a flash past the line, because Testy did drift off the inside rail, and running Sovereign Debt out of its lane definitely caused Dandy Nichols' charge not to quite get up. So there isn't a great deal between these two here today. It's just all about what you're prepared to do with the price. I'll say that, generally speaking, Tested is around about a 7 or 4 poke. William Hill go 3-1, Sovereign Debt, you can get a little bit of 7 or 2. So I think if you're looking for an obvious each-way call here, if you're a bit of an each-way maggot like I am, then you would be looking towards Sovereign Debt, because it's hard to see him not finishing in the frame. He's yet to be out the frame in his last 7 starts, and he ran well next time out at Newmarket as well. Trip-wise, he's fairly versatile from 7 up to a mile and a quarter, and I think it is between the two. I don't think Happy Prince is good enough. He certainly was well beaten down in Tipperary, so there's no real reason why at 4-1 he should turn the form around. So I'd probably go with Sovereign Debt again here, like I say, and with that safety blanket of 7-2, he looks a fair each-way bet.
OK, the 250 is next up, which is the Airfield Stakes, a listed race over 1 mile and 1 furlong. And we've got a real mix here. We've got 2 thoroughly exposed types who are slightly bigger prices. And we've got 4 horses that are unexposed for top yards in Land of Hope and Glory, Eberdeyen, Moonlit Magic and Queen Blossom. Wouldn't be surprising, Andy, to see any of these four contesting better races than this in the future. But the fact that they're all in this race, a listed contest, means that it's a fascinating race. What do you fancy here?
Well, nothing in this race has done anything spectacular on the times, which leaves me a fairly easy decision to make here when I've got such a set of circumstances. I tend to go with the one who has created the most impressive visual impression on me. And that horse is Eberdeyen, who won despite adversity at Galway. It's a tricky track for a two-year-old to run at first time out. And, of course, Dermot Weld often sends his best two-year-olds there, the ones that he thinks are good enough to cope with the vagaries in the undulations of Ballybrit. Obviously, they go down into the hill at a good speed, and they have to come up it, and they have to show a good degree of stamina and tenacity to win. And that's exactly what Eberdeyen did on debut. OK, he didn't beat a great deal. You know, Cole Porter's, a fairly middle-of-the-road colt trained by Aidan O'Brien. Al Mulhahal, the third, to be fair, has won a decent nursery next time up. So, you know, he wasn't beating a bunch of dummies, but it was just the way he did it. He looks at an absolute out-and-out stayer, typical of Dermot Weld, gritty. You know, you'd want him in the trenches. And I think this race will definitely boil down to who wants it more coming up the hill. Now, I'm not saying that Land and Open Glory, by any stretch of the imagination, he's got a glass chin, but I just don't like this horse for some reason or another. He's always one of these ones that's too short in the betting for me. He's been overrated rather than anything else. He got beat in a nursery two starts ago when everyone thought he was a certainty. He was then heavily backed at Newmarket and he got beat again. And like I said, I just think he's overestimated in the market here, whereas Eberdeyen isn't. So it's around about 2-1 this morning. I'm going to go with the Weld runner to beat the Aidan O'Brien runner.
The 3:20 is race 6 on the card. It's the November handicap over a mile and 7 furlong. We'll have 23 runners going to post. And, well, what a competitive race this is, Andy. We're 8-1 the field at the time of recording, and Modem heads affairs for Jessica Harrington. She's also got two reserves, by the way, so keep an eye if there are non-runners, because she could have a few runners in the race. There's a real mix here, though, Andy. You've got the informed types, the likes of Modem and Sister Cartage. You've got the horses that have been there and done that, the classier types, if you like, who are towards the top of the handicap, like Toe the Line and Silver Concord. You've got horses that are still going the right way, and, you know, you've got two Tony Martin runners in there, or actually three, I think. Horses that could be handicap plots, if you like. There are so many angles into this race, but which one are you going to come down on?
Yeah, this is probably the most difficult handicap I've come across all season in Ireland. I think it's, if you shop around, you get 10-1 the field, which tells you it's almost more difficult than the Grand National itself. So finding the winner is not going to be easy. I'm going to go with Golden Spear, though. Clearly the Tong Tai, which was in operation for the first time at Listowel last time at over hurdles, worked the oracle with this slightly frustrating horse, it has to be said, but that seemed to make the difference to him. Like I say, he quickened up really smartly to win that day on softest ground, and prior to that he ran here in a competitive race behind Sil One, and now he was really unlucky that day. I know he only finished 8th of the 16, but if you go back and watch the tapes, he got in all sorts of trouble coming down the lane when he was really full of running. I think he probably would have finished maybe second or third at a push on that occasion. He certainly would have beaten the likes of Orton Bay, Venizia Benkai and De Genta. And, of course, the form has worked out really well. We've seen De Genta come out of that race and land the Irish Cesarewitch the other week at the Curra. So, all intents and purposes, you'd imagine that Golden Spear, with the tongue tie on, with the aid on, of course, now on the first time on the flat, if he can run anywhere near that level that he stole, or indeed the level at Galway the time before when he chased home Clondor Warrior, he's got to be a major, major factor here. So around about 10-12-1 this morning, I'll take Tony Martin's Golden Spear to run a nice race there in the November handicap.
OK, Golden Spear the pick in that. Of course, Tony Martin's got four runners. I couldn't even count them. But we're going with Golden Spear. Shamie Heffernan takes the ride on that one. The 3:55 is the penultimate race on the card. It's a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. I know there are some consistent types going to post here, Andy. I must confess, I was quite surprised to see Spin Point at such a backable price this morning. What do you make of the race?
Yeah, I think he's nice horse, Spin Point, but to be fair, he hasn't actually done anything on my speed figures that I'm getting massively excited about. He did beat two nice horses, however, Dan and Garen, horses called Van Stick and Avante. Both of those two won maiden subsequently, the Curra and Cork, respectively. And he's run reasonably well in handicaps at Ferry House and at the Curra. Obviously, you fancy him, but at 5-1, I'd probably pass him over. I'll probably put two up against him here in the shape of Zebek and Stronger Than Me. Now, both of these two horses come out of a very hot race down in Nace the other day behind Robertstown, Nick McNicholson and Noble Inn. all of those three horses are in good form. And Zebek, who finished fourth, came out the best of the two that I'm putting up here. He had to make the running that day, which he often does. He tries to row his own boat. But front-running tactics aren't exactly a negative here at Leopardstown, particularly on a strong game and staying type such as John Ox's colt is. And I expect him to run well and also stronger than me. Now, he's been a bit in and out this season, stronger than me, but I know Will Farrell's Charge does run really well at this track, and he often comes good at this time of year as well, and he's really well handicapped on the pick of his best form. The Grand will suit him, and at 8-1, I think we can chuck him in along with Zebek and have two against the field.
Right, the final race on the card then is the maiden over a mile, the 4:25, and there are some thoroughly exposed types heading to post here, Andy. You wouldn't imagine that there's many lurkers either, which makes it quite difficult because you've got horses that maybe that the form has petered off. Despite the fact they've been consistent, they're yet to get their heads in front. As such, it's hard to trust any of them, but you are getting 4-1 the field. Do I spy some each-way thievery here?
Yeah, I mean, whichever horse I pick here is going to have a little bit of each-way thievery attached to it, isn't it, really? We could almost do it four places, to be fair, because it's such a wide-open contest, you can fancy seven or eight. I'll probably go with the logical one for me, and that's B Cosmos. He's such a game individual, this horse. And I think he'll definitely win races sooner rather than later. Or be over hurdles or on the flat. He's chopping and changing because his last run, of course, was in a decent juvenile contest down in Down Royal. When he bumped into Lake Champlain, who's probably the best juvenile so far we've seen in Ireland this season, of course, he won on the flat the other day at Dundalk. Prior to that, he chased Sheila Lavery's Ike Bergman, who's a very useful horse. Fourth behind Valdesol. He's another horse who's been in great form. So, to be fair, he's been knocking at the door, William McCreary, 3-year-old. Like I say, I really like him. He's just an admirable type. And I think in a race like this, where there's lots of ifs and buts about quite a few of these, such as McGuigan and Chinese Light, Perfect Fit, who've had plenty of chances, I think he's the most logical one. Do keep an eye on, as well, Eagle Valley, who was very well fancied at Nacy the day. I know he didn't win, but that wasn't a bad performance. And considering that was only the second start in her life, I think Tracy Collins' filly, Eagle Valley, could also run well. But B Cosmos, around about 5-1 generally this morning, as I said, looks a fair each way bet.
Okay, so not an attitude problem for B Cosmos.
Not at all, no. He's just been in very, very hot mains and handicaps.
Okay, because you look at horses who are this exposed and you think, well, there must be a reason why they haven't won.
But yeah, there's a hell of a lot of those like this in this race. I don't think there's anything with massive amount of massive upside. I think they're all very much a muchness.
Okay, fair enough. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with your picks in Leopardstown on Sunday. Enjoy the action, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, it should be a great day. Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.